Hey guys, this is the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man, and I'm your host, Rhonda Farr. We're talking all about high achievers who want to create more emotional connection and intimacy in their relationships, and what it's like to be in a relationship with a high achiever. Please enjoy. Hey friends, welcome back. Today I am building on a concept that I talked about in last week's episode, Receiving More. It's this idea that when we offer a quick fix for something, we are actually avoiding allowing ourselves to grow in capacity. So when we offer a quick fix for something, what we're not offering is the opportunity to develop the skill sets, the efforts, the strengths, the ability to hold and receive the thing that we want. I'm going to give you a few quick examples that will help demonstrate this idea, and then we'll talk more about capacity. First one, super simple. I want you to think about a kid who wants to be on an all-state team or in an all-state group of some sort, but they don't have the skill sets that are necessary to be in that group or on that team. They haven't developed the drive or the discipline to practice and put in the consistent effort to be on that team. Perhaps they have not developed the confidence in themselves to be in that team or around that group of people without comparing themselves to the others that they're with. Now, I think it's pretty easy to think about it in this way, from this vantage point. Like, of course it makes sense that we want to put in the ability to grow who we are, to be confident in ourselves, to have the skill set for us without somebody else saying, oh, you're awesome and you can be on this team, right? It just doesn't make sense to bypass that middle part where we develop and grow our capacity. I had something similar to this happen in my business. When I started being a life coach, I had never owned my own business. I had had jobs before, but it had been a long time ago. And working full time was something that was new to me as I was entering back into this new phase of life. Now, I would work really hard and I would do a lot of things during the week and I would feel pretty good about these things while I was doing it, but it became so exhausting to me. I remember, I don't know, it was probably 5 or 6 months where almost every Friday I just thought, oh my gosh, I cannot do this anymore. I'm exhausted. It's taking too much of my energy and my effort. I'm never going to figure this out. I did not yet have the capacity that I do have now, by the way, but it was just so draining for me because I had to learn all these new skills. Now, if I'm not careful, if I'm being honest, sometimes I can fall back into that. But what I'm doing now is trying to scale my business. And so last year I did the same thing and I'm trying to figure out a new way of doing it. Last year I was trying to scale. I made some goals for clients and financial goals and I was able to meet them, but it was in a non-sustainable way. So halfway through the year, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to figure this out again. So here I am this year, once again, trying to develop the skill sets, trying to become the person that I need to be so I can hold the things that I want in my business. I think that probably makes sense to most of you. I have to change who I am, not change the business first. I was thinking about this like 5 years ago, if somebody said, hey, Rhonda, here is this business. You're going to make $500,000 every year. Go ahead, have at it. Just do all the things. I would have croaked, you guys. There's no way I would still be showing up. I simply could not hold it. Even though I would have loved that outcome of the money or whatever, there's just no way I could have held that. I wasn't the person who had developed the capacity yet. So I'm going to give you an example of one of my clients. This is a true story, by the way. He came home from work and he said his wife was in the kitchen cooking one of his favorite meals in lingerie. Now, as many of you can guess, he would have told me this would have been everything for him when we first started working together. Like, no, this is what I want. This is exactly it. But what he actually told me on the call that we had not too long ago was it was all the things I thought I wanted. And it still wasn't very fulfilling. Now, I know some of you are listening to me and like, no, Rhonda, bull crap. If my wife does this, then that will be the thing I want. I will receive it gladly. And maybe some of you will. Maybe some of you could do that. But I want to offer even that, it won't be sustaining long term if you haven't developed the capacity to find confidence in yourself, to feel peace in yourself, to be able to trust that you're valuable and lovable no matter what anybody else says or does, okay? For most of my clients, we want to be known. We want to be heard and understood and appreciated. But for many of us who've learned that our value comes from working hard and earning it, we don't trust our partner to be able to fully see and know us. We don't want them to see the flaws, the warts, and all of it. We don't think that they could still choose us if they saw all of that. So what I see happening in my line of work is instead of my clients recognizing, oh, I need to develop the capacity to just be seen and vulnerable and open just for myself, right? It feels more familiar to them to focus on getting the other person to change, to get that goal externally. So can you hear the difference in this? It's, can I focus on a person who is being seen, vulnerable, and open and being confident in my ability to do that, rather than focusing on getting my partner to choose me more? Because whether you can recognize it or not, many of you don't trust your partner's sincerity even when they try. Or you'll notice it, but it still won't feel good to you, so you'll keep focusing on what they can do differently in order for you to finally feel loved and valued. But all along, the very thing you're missing is to find the capacity within yourselves to love yourself enough to show it to others. Now, why does this happen? Some people who focus on attachment theory say that when we were kids, we didn't trust that our parents could show up with us in love consistently over time. So what happened was, even when our parents would show up sometimes with love, we wouldn't be sure if they meant it, or we wouldn't be certain it would come back next time. So we started being very untrusting whenever we did receive the thing that we wanted, because we were so afraid that it could be taken away or it might not be there next time. And then what we do is we bring that same fear or that same uncertainty into our marriages. And then when we start requiring our partner to give us more, tell us more, it's never enough. And then they get exhausted. You see, without the capacity to be at peace with who you are, regardless of anyone else's ability to validate you, you'll never feel secure enough to stop extracting your regulation and your peace from the other person. It's one of the absolute hardest things to do. We cannot sugarcoat how hard this is. So difficult to learn to chill out and back off when everything inside of us feels afraid that the one we care about the most might not step back into connection with us. And it's so anxiety-inducing. But we have to develop the capacity to find peace within ourselves. And from this place, we won't have to require or extract from our partners. So they are more free to choose us and give to us when we are more open to be able to receive, because we're not so tied up in earning love and connection, okay? So I want to make a quick note to the partner of someone who is more anxious in the relationship. This is just a short tie-in. Some of you are going to be tempted to only focus on this paragraph. So here's your warning. I'm going to say this because I do think it's fair to talk to the partner of the anxiously attached person, but this can't be your only focus, okay? When conflicts arise, the more avoidant partner will probably have a tendency to withdraw or shut down emotionally as a way to protect themselves, okay? This partner has learned somewhere along the way that stepping into conflict or contention is not safe. In fact, just like the other side of this relationship, you're also probably afraid that if people really knew you, they'd be disappointed in you and they wouldn't love you. Isn't this crazy? We're both just trying our best to feel loved and secure, but we've learned very different strategies to accomplish this goal. For the more avoidant partner, you too have to develop the capacity to be seen and known. Even when it's super scary to step into the conflict in the heat of the moment, you can find some words to communicate why you feel so afraid. So here's one of my number one tips. If you're one of the partners who are feeling more avoidant or more scary, rather than just go and hide or rather than just walk away, What would it be like if you could just say, hey, I know that you really feel anxious right now. I know that you are feeling not at peace. So am I. This is really hard for me. This is really scary for me. Maybe you could make a request for some more time then to come back and address what's going on in the relationship. I also really love it when we can come and talk about something when nobody's dysregulated. Can you come back in when there is a peaceful moment? Oftentimes, this is really hard for an avoidant partner because they're afraid as soon as they come back and talk about it, that everything's going to get dysregulated again and they're going to lose their peace. Now, for the more anxious partner, I would say to you, you really have to think about this. When your partner who likes to walk away more or who is more avoidant comes to you, can you show them that you can tolerate without getting angry or loud or aggressive for them to be open and honest with you? Okay? When you're not in the heat of the moment, can you step toward the conversation in ways that help you develop your own capacity to hold discomfort in the relationship? Okay? Now remember, my clients, those of you who are more anxious, you may be tempted to disregard everything else I said on this podcast and focus only on that last paragraph. While, of course, both partners will ideally develop more capacity to give and receive in more healthy ways, you can't bypass your ownership in this dynamic and keep telling her how she should be different. It just won't work. If that would work, you'd have solved this by now and you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Trust me, you guys are smart. You figure out what you want. You figure out how to get what you want. Which also is one of the pitfalls you have to watch out for, because when you work hard and try to earn love, it never feels good. When you try to force somebody else to choose you or validate you, it will never feel good, even if they do the thing that you ask them to do. It just doesn't feel good because it doesn't feel sincere, because you've had to once again earn your way into that. And that's not what you want here. You want to be chosen and desired and loved without strings attached. Which is the craziest thing, right? Like, we can't hold back and let them do that because we get so anxious. So I really want you to notice this dynamic in your relationship. And the antidote, all of you are like, okay, Rhonda, but how do we fix it? What do we do? You don't want the answer. You don't like the answer. The answer is you have to take care of your own needs. You have to take care of your own regulation when it's the most difficult to do so. This is something that might not ever go away. I know you probably don't want to hear me say that, but it might not ever fully disappear in your relationship, in your life. But if you're both aware of it and you can begin to communicate more maturely about it with a lot more awareness, if you can develop some skills and put those in place, I promise you, you can navigate it in a way that doesn't feel so tumultuous. A lot of my clients will say, it's just like we're on this roller coaster. And the more anxious attached partner will often like create this dysfunction so that more avoidant partner will like have to come in. Like, fine, screw it, I'll come in. And then for a moment it feels good, like, oh, finally you stepped closer. But then the problem is we develop these patterns that are just so up and down. Like, we feel like if we don't create a stink or a problem, then our partner's never going to choose us. This is why you have to develop that capacity in yourself to be okay without being validated all the time. And when you can do that, then your partner can step in with more genuine love, more genuine connection and authenticity. All right, friends, I know this is a hard one. It's one of the most difficult skills I see my clients and even in my own relationships, myself trying to navigate. I'll talk to you next time.